Everyone.
Hello.
Welcome once again to Reckless Attack, a 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons actual play podcast. I am GM Nathan here with three of the healthiest guilders you could ever wish for, and four of the loveliest players you could ever wish for. What episode is this?
This would be episode 144. Yes, we've hit a full gross of episodes.
Very good. Very good. I knew it was some obscure milestone. Milestones, that's calling it a little bit probably nicer than it actually is, but that's fine. We have a very exciting session ahead of us here this evening. So I'm not going to, you know, patter around anymore talking about mathematical terms or, you know, what one group of numbers is called anymore. So starting with the individual on my left, we are joined by...
Hi, everyone. I'm Sophie. And I play Valeska Carter, the human asterisk cleric asterisk of the Arcana domain. And, you know, each time Val gets wrapped in a warm, moist tongue, you think it'd be grosser, but she finds it comforting now. She's reached that point.
I'm not gonna ask you to retake that again right now, but I'm gonna ask you after we're done recording to really think about the phrase you just used.
Nope, I just went for it, Nathan, and that's okay. What's going to happen.
Your choices, as long as you know, I support it.
To my left.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan, and I play Checkers, the Grung Druid, and his trusty frog pals, Mango and Junior. And Checkers is the purveyor of said warm, moist tongues. Through the form of...
Okay, wait, now I'm rethinking it.
...of Billiam, the butterfly frog.
This is a classic... Yeah. Like, when things are going very, very badly, our intros are the dumbest. Yeah. And that's how you know what's about to happen.
And to my left. Hi, everyone. I'm David. And I play Kaskrin Brightmane, a dwarven sorcerer. And Kaskrin and David are wishing that you personally may find your own large warm tongue to cuddle up next to.
Nathan,
find
I'm
that
sorry.
Warm tongue in your life.
I asked Sophie, I thought very respectfully, and I think with a lot of couthness.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, actually, this is great. I love this and whatever is going to stem from it. I can't imagine regretting anything that's about to happen.
And
here we
Nathan,
are.
I have my comeuppance and a lot of regret.
Yep. Good. Good. Good news. You have at least one more to sit through.
And to my left.
Hi, everyone. My name is Steve, and I play Selv Asterlin, the dragonborn monk. And as we all know, since the top of the episode, if X equals the number of conscious characters, then as X approaches zero, we're going to be hosed.
Math jokes.
Yeah.
Math,
yes. Is a gross related to like a peck or a bushel?
A gross is 144 because it is 12 12s.
Holy shit, I need to roll damage dice against all of you.
Yeah.
Maybe, I suggest 12d12?
Maybe in person, and if I crit hard enough, you're goddamn right it's going to be. Guys, things are pretty bad. Like, I'm gonna just jolt us, I won't say into reality, but into the fantasy reality we've all agreed to share for approximately the next 60 to 80 minutes. Guys, things are not good. You are in the undead... Like, I guess just calling it, it's just the dead city. Mm-hmm. The dead city of Narhasar, former capital of the Pentarchy, site of Sunfall. And you guys have been trying to make your way towards a particularly large, particularly central tower, obelisk even, that is right in the middle of everything. You've been snaking your way through the streets, blending in, doing, you know, pretty well so far, until now. Until kind of right exactly at this moment. You found yourselves in the middle of a huge bazaar. Just tons of spirits seemingly still feigning what they were doing in life, but shopping, conversing, exchanging goods. But you tried to get your way through, and you were found out. You guys have been running. Just running. This running has been semi-successful, has been particularly successful for one member of your party, who finds himself maybe in a safe place. Safer, definitely. Then there's kind of a nice couple of guilders who, they're making way, making progress, getting out of there. And then there's, then there's Casgrin.
Yeah!
Who's quite a ways behind, and has been recently crit upon.
That sucked.
By spirits who rolled a lot of D6s and did quite a bit of damage, unfortunately. And so, Casgrin Brightmane, you are beset on all sides. There is specters surrounding you. All of them have reached out, clawed but formless hands, and just raking it through your armor, down your skin. I don't know even what of your guilders you can see at this point, because they are quite a ways away, but also you are totally surrounded.
Yeah.
And line of sight is bad. Everything you've tried thus far has gone medium to bad.
What do you mean that trying to dress up as some of the ghosts isn't going to work?
You know, it would have maybe worked better if you hadn't rolled poorly.
That's fair. I deserve that.
But it is your turn, and it's time to make some moves happen.
Yeah.
Casgrin Brightmane, what do you do?
So I'm imagining Casgrin is at this crossroads of a bazaar. There's a couple of like temporary stalls, and there's a couple of permanent buildings. And Casgrin like has this moment where he's surrounded on all sides, like in a zombie apocalypse. And he sees Sel has just like vaulted over this corner of a building, and he sees him go. He gets attacked. His vision goes. His knees buckle, and when his vision returns, suddenly he's alone. Suddenly there's no guilders anywhere that he can see. And that's when like the desperation begins to well up inside of him, and he has to like really use his, you know, his soldier instinct, push that down. It can wait till later. He has to focus. I am going to, step one, use a special ability granted to me by the Citadel. And step two, I'm going to take a page out of Checker's book.
Always the correct move.
Everyone, that is required reading for all Golden Tree adventurers is Checker's book.
Yes.
All crayon drawings and all.
Step one, I'm going to use the ability I have dubbed, pick on someone your own size. Normally, this would let me move towards an ally that has, you know, gotten attacked and he needs, you know, someone needs to like defend them, as is the way of Casgrin. But I have not used it in that sense thus far. So what I'm actually going to do is I'm going to use it to run away. Because...
Okay, I hate this already, but go on.
This ability lets me, as a free action, move up to my movement speed without provoking an attack of opportunity. And because I am surrounded, that seems kind of important. In addition, I am going to cast the spell Quickened Jump.
Yay.
Tripling my jump speed. And Checkers, you just feel this warm, tingly feeling from like 150 feet away.
Yep.
Not entirely sure why.
Inexplicably. But what this does is, because Casgrin's strength is so high, he has a fairly reasonable like standing jump and running jump. And so by tripling it, he can actually take a running jump up to 50 feet.
Okay. So this ability is specifically for running to allies under attack. It is not to run away. That is the opposite of what the Eternal Citadel
That's fair, yes.
But I have a question.
Yes.
Selv Astralin, how far have you moved over the last few turns?
So far, I have moved 115 feet.
And this ability, there isn't a range to it, correct? It is just that you can see, or how does it read?
Yes, my ally has to be within line of sight in this case. It's not like I can just run an arbitrary distance, but I'm hoping like the memory of Sel climbing over the roof will be enough.
I'm going to allow this, but with that clarification, I guess we'll say in the future, is that it is because you are running to Selv, who is also in danger, not to run away. Because again, that is not, those are not the the glorious powers bestowed upon you by the Citadels to be like, yes, run away.
I'm definitely losing some brownie points with the Citadel for this one. I'm not going to lie.
There is some Citadel agent who is like going over receipts of their sorcerer / warlocks who are like, oh my God, but he used it for what?
And again?
You're going to get audited, and I don't look forward to being you here.
He's doing it again, sir. Doing what? He's using our abilities to run away.
So with all that being said, Kaskrin is going to take 20 feet of movement. He's also going to dash, and he is going to spend basically the first 20 feet. I want to see if I can like jump on top of a building or something. Can I follow in Sel's footsteps and reach the roof of the building that he was just on?
Not in the first 20 feet, I don't think. But I would say you could run 20 feet and then use your jump like to kind of get clear and get to a roof that is less kind of busy, we'll say.
Okay, fantastic. So he channels the energy. He is like starting to like try and push away some of these spirits and such, trying to shoulder his way through them. He manages to squeeze his way into an alley using the first 20 feet of movement. And with his quickened jump, instead of like trying to slowly climb the side of this building, he is going to take a deep squat and then channel power into his legs and hurl himself 20 feet straight up onto the roof of this, I assume, second story building.
Anyone who's looking back, Self probably has the best vantage point, sees as Kaskrin charges himself up kind of with this Citadel energy. Based off of the way that David described it, it seems like Kaskrin doesn't even register what he's doing, because as his body is suffused with this energy, he is pushing his way through the crowd, which is not how ghosts work. But his rocky arms are alight with this energy, and he is able to shove these ghosts away and is able to make his way through the crowd unharmed and unnauseated as passing through it would usually be. And that little bit of protection is what allows him to be able to pass through unharmed. So you have moved how far in total distance? Because some of that was obviously vertical.
I would say I moved 20 feet closer to my goal, so I have moved 60 feet total. And because I jumped vertically, that is all my movement.
Anything else?
That's it.
Top of the order. Valeska Carter, how far have you traveled over the last couple of rounds?
With the help of Billiam, Val has traveled 110 feet.
Okay.
Can Val, in flying with Billiam, can Val see Kaskrin at this moment?
I'll put it this way. I think yes, because you guys are the only thing with color in the whole landscape.
Gotcha.
And so while buildings kind of obscure things a bit, he pops.
Yeah.
Fair. As a bonus action, I will cast Healing Word at second level, so you get 2d4.
Nice.
Plus 4. Okay. And you have something where you get all that?
Yep, I heal 12 points, which is the maximum of that. What's the range of that ability?
60 feet.
Okay, sweet.
And then Val will like unwind from Billiam.
Yes.
Drop to the ground, take her exhausted 25 feet of movement, and then use the dash action to move another 25 feet. So she would be 160 feet away from where they've started.
And I think you guys, especially with Billiam's assistance, I'm assuming that you have kind of followed the same path the Checkers has been forging.
Just booking it to the green frogs.
Jonathan, frogs. What does Val come upon? What's the ambiance of this, 150 feet or so zone that she has now entered?
So as soon as Checkers and Mango kind of got to an area where they realized they weren't being chased by all the specters, Mango just, like, collapses. Because he got run through by a bunch of flying pigeons. And what Val stumbles upon is Checker just like patting the back of Mango, like, you know, it's okay, boy. And Mango is just like actively trying to not throw up. Aww. Like, she's struggling right now.
Is he doing that little like tremble?
Yeah. He's like, he's all hunched over, like pretending to vomit, but can't quite get there. Aww. Yeah, it's bad.
Val just runs into Mango in a big hug for both of their sakes.
Yes.
Unfortunately, it's not Checker's turn. No. It's not even Sel's turn. It's definitely not
Kaskrin's turn. No.
It's Kaskrin's turn.
I run closer.
It's one of the swarm's turn, and it is going to make a couple of attacks. There's only three living beings in the 150-foot zone, and it is Kaskrin, and it is Selv, and it also is Billiam.
He's high up.
Billiam is high up. So what I'm going to do, since you guys have the high ground at the moment, they're still going to kind of swipe at you, you know, kind of the one or two straggler, or like one or two that have started broaching over the tops of these roofs are going to kind of take a swipe at you, but because it's not the full force of the horde, so to speak, I'm going to give them disadvantage and penalties to their attacks. So first, Selv Ashtalin. Natural 20!
Oh!
But that was the high one, so.
Oh, okay.
19, though.
Oh.
19? My armor class is 18.
All right.
I still don't love how many d6 you're rolling.
Yeah.
When they go after you, Saul, they do a lot of damage.
Uh-huh. 21 points of necrotic damage.
On the first attack.
Second attack, Kaskrin Brightmane.
Yep.
20 to hit.
That's the high one, right?
No.
No.
I rolled a 17 on the die.
Jesus.
On the high one.
Nathan.
Yep.
That hits.
Yep. Okay. There's all the dice just fully work in the background.
Click clack in there, yep.
Oh, that's much better. 18 points 30. Of necrotic damage.
Oh. Well, I'm glad I got you some health.
Yeah,
yep.
I feel better. I'm officially bloodied.
Yes. Oof. Easy. No problem. That was quick. They just resolved it really quick. And in fact, Selv Ashtalin, it is your turn. So you can fix this.
Right.
I don't know what that means, but I'm sure you can.
You're legally obligated to save a Selv.
Just to set the stage, Cass and I are on the same rooftop.
No, he is.
I'm farther behind.
Because you are 110 feet, correct?
15.
115. So he is 50-ish behind you.
Yeah.
Okay. And I have a couple of things climbing over, and Cass has...
Also a couple.
A couple, yeah.
Just a couple? Or are you, like, swarmed?
Well, we're gonna, well, you know, maybe in another turn or two, I'll get swarmed.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to, I'm gonna try something. I don't know if it's gonna work, or...
I don't know if you'll like it.
Yeah. No, it's, good news. The good news is, when I do this, I cannot accidentally hit you.
Ooh, all right.
Selv reaches into his gi and pulls out a wand.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I am going to use this wand, which is a wand of magic missiles.
Ooh, okay.
And I am going to use 6 of the 7 charges.
Ooh.
Damn.
For 8 missiles.
Dang. Wow. Dang, we should do this more often.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, guys.
Use the stuff we gave
you. I gave you so many cool things.
So that is 8 missiles. And I am going to target 1 missile per creature around Cass.
Very cool.
For some reason, I'm just imagining like a Patriot missile system. Just
it's more Sidewinder. So yeah. It's like... And they just kind of like fly all over the place. They go around any of the creatures in between us, and they just hit 8 separate creatures surrounding you. And it does a D4 plus 1 in damage to each of those creatures.
So this is 8 D4 plus 8, correct? Is the total number?
Correct.
Nice.
29 points of damage in total from 8 magic missiles.
Sick. Wow.
Nice.
The magic missiles come swarming all around you, Kaskrin.
Uh-huh.
Just this like bombardment of arcane energy falling all over the roof all around you. And you can see that all the ones that are closest to you did get knocked down. I will tell you, metagame-wise, it didn't do quite enough damage to change the math of these swarms, but it was close. So things... An opening has been offered. It's a very small one at this point, but you can tell, Kaskrin, that a little bit more force and there's going to be... That crack is going to get a little wider.
I just imagine, like, one of these was about to swipe at Kaskrin and all of a sudden just gets beamed in the side of the head with a magic missile and, like, flops over.
Precisely, and just, like, dissipates.
Yeah.
Anything else, Self?
I'm going to actually spend a key point to use Step of the Wind give me a bonus action disengage, and Selv is out of there. Poof.
And then there was one.
And that brings your total move up to what, Steve?
Total, I have moved 155 feet.
You know, hey, two of your other guilders are already there. And, you know, there's, like, kind of not a lot of spirits there, and that's nice. Or just, like, I guess I should say no actively trying to rip you apart spirits. So things are good here. Nice. Checkers.
Yes.
It is your go.
So about 6 seconds ago, about 12 seconds ago, all hell broke loose. And all of a sudden we were in this mad dash for our lives. Val yelled out some instructions and Checkers and Mango just booked it as far as they could go. All of a sudden, when they reached around 150 feet or so, they turned around to see who was following them and realized that the spirits seemed to have just kind of left them alone, turned around to focus on something else. And Checkers and Mango are kind of in this back alleyway, seemingly safe. All of a sudden, they see Val. They see Sel sprint around the corner. And it's just like, as Checkers is desperately trying to get Mango back into fighting shape, he's like, Val, Selv, you made it. Wait, where's Cass?
I gave him an opening, but he's still got some trouble.
Well, what are we doing here? We gotta go help. So Checkers is gonna turn around and once again look for Kaskrin, see that he's running for his life on the rooftop.
Yep.
And Checkers is a little too far from Kaskrin to directly help, but he's going to send Billiam kind of like halfway between him and Kaskrin. So Billiam's going to move 60 feet and just sort of hang there waiting for Kaskrin to make it. But it all depends on him.
Yep.
I think those two are now, 30-ish feet apart. Is that correct? You were 60, I think.
Yeah.
And then so that means he's at the 90-foot mark. So correct. 30 feet is what Kaskrin, at least to get to Billiam.
Yeah, yeah.
Technically 80. So he's because Val was 110 feet away. So
if... No. It's only 30 feet. Don't worry about it.
No.
She's helping.
Got it. So it's only 20 feet. Saying
that is true. He did not start because you had very specifically gotten off beforehand, so he could turn back if he needed to.
Easier. Okay, I thought he said like he's 80 feet away. I'm like, shut up.
I can't go that far.
Great clarification. So yeah. So now Billiam has now just absolutely hauled flying frog butt back towards Kaskrin. You guys are now 20 feet apart.
Yeah.
But is there anything else that you can do or want to try to do at this point?
Checkers is just going to reach out to Kaskrin. Kaskrin, come on, let's go.
That last bit of encouragement to not be devoured by the mob.
And that's the end of my turn.
Speaking of the mob, unfortunately, additional damage has not been done. And so it is still at full strength.
Cool.
I'm still going to roll at disadvantage for one of, well... Where's Billiam, do we think?
I think he would be within range, especially if some of the spirits were climbing on top of a building.
Okay. I wasn't sure how high up he was looking to make this drop off versus just trying to beeline as fast as possible.
For sure.
I'm going to once again do a split roll between, well, this time the frog instead of the lizard, aka the dragonborn, and the dwarf. First roll, disadvantage on the frog. 16 to hit?
That hits.
Duh.
Billiam is not... I only summoned him at second level, so he's not very strong right now.
Don't take this away from me, Nathan.
Honestly, 14 points of necrotic damage. Rolled terribly.
That's very close, though.
Really?
Yeah.
I rolled two ones and two twos.
Uh-huh.
Build that boy better. We're high-level adventuring now, Jonathan.
Well, he's looking rough, but still there.
Thank God.
Yeah, just like all of my frogs.
Still there.
Yep.
if by technicality.
Right.
Second attack. Two threes.
Oh, yeah.
So that is an 11 total to hit. That's a big miss on Castron.
Just basking in the warmth of that disadvantage.
And yeah, between that little bit of room that Sel was able to break open and that still lingering power of the Citadel, things just aren't quite able to get at you, at least not in this split second of battle. Mm-hmm. Bottom of the order.
Yep.
Castron.
Hello.
What now?
Here's the thing. I want this to be so cool because, like, I'm imagining Castron is, like, jumping off the edge of this, like, skyscraper and, like, you know, he, like, holds on to the footrest of the helicopter and swings over and
correct.
Then flies off in the distance.
Yep.
Really, he's moving from one end of the room to the other and then grabbing onto Billiam and then... That's kind of it.
I can do some opportunity attacks.
Oh, yeah.
I think probably that.
Yeah, throw a few opportunity attacks to really elevate the tension.
At least one opportunity attack,
jump
I think,
or
in
something?
Here.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's still movement away, so still an opportunity.
Would you like to have good news? The tension is ratcheted up.
Oh, no.
Because I rolled a 22.
Stop.
And 12.
Okay. All right. Thank God.
So there are still... There is a lot of clawing still at you as you are trying to trudge forward yep. and make your way there.
And so Castron is not even, like, he's not calmly going to, like, hold on to Billiam. He, like, underestimates his own jumping power and just springs up like a frog and, like, full-on body hugs Billiam from the very top and, like, does not let go.
Yep.
I'm imagining it looking like when you're, like, a little kid and you hug a beach ball
yeah.
in
yes.
water. Uh-huh. It's like, woo!
Yep, and the equilibrium is all messed up, so Castron is, like, sort of at the bottom but kind of rotating around.
And Billiam's trying to right himself
right.
and just Castron's all over the place.
Yep.
I love how you yell at me to not make this harder on you and you just make it hard on yourself.
Anything else you'd like to do?
Nope, that's it. As I try to just desperately hold on to my balance on this frog.
Checkers. No, I was wrong. Swarm's turn.
Why can't it just be Checker's turn?
Two attacks. Split once again. First one against Castron, I think.
Yeah, fair.
That is a miss.
Nice. We got really unlucky with those
yeah,
first
right?
couple hits.
No kidding. That was bad.
You say that. I'm going to, well, with disadvantage, though.
Yeah, right.
I rolled also some 20s. I'm going to switch dice against Billiam.
Billiam has very low AC.
What was that about rolling, being unlucky those first ones? That is a 22 to hit.
Yep.
Minimum damage will absolutely obliterate.
That's
that
fair.
Rogue.
So, Castron,
hi.
You sprint across this rooftop as fast as you can, dodging spirits left and right. Make one glorious leap with your tripled jump to grab onto the floating butterfly body of Billiam. And he just pops underneath you, sending you plummeting to the ground.
Yep. We'll say you are still over a roof, no problem, just because it's pretty packed here. So you just thud onto some tile roofs.
You could that's not that bad, actually. That could have been a lot worse.
Yes, exactly. But
you swear you grabbed onto something solid, too. And all of a sudden you just hit the ground.
Yep.
Val's kind of panicking at this point. She's like, maybe it is time for some bigger guns. And Val pulls out her wand of fireballs.
Sick.
I appreciate that you guys are pulling this out.
Now,
as everyone but Castron has crossed over,
I forgot about it. Listeners, know your inventory. So I would like a dex save.
Two passes.
Oh.
That's fine. I roll 8d6 and they take half damage. 26 points of damage.
Nice.
Ow. Castron, over your head, you see an eruption of arcane flame, and it takes out a large portion of these spirits, and it does not fill back in quickly. The horde is diminished.
Nice.
In both numbers and strength. Anything else, Val?
As a bonus action, Val will worry.
Okay. Seems good. The full bonus action, that's pretty good. It's not full action
it's
of worry,
true.
But you could worry for free. Checkers.
You know, I was really hoping that Billiam Gambit was going to work.
I was too. Second level, how dare you?
So things haven't really changed since the previous round. Checkers, Val, Selv, perfectly safe on the other side of this magical 150-foot distance barrier.
It's going to take me 3 rounds to get to you guys.
Kaskrin fighting for his life about 70 feet away. So Checkers is going to wade back into the pool of spirits.
Mm-hmm. Hold my hat, Val. I'll be right back.
What?
Admiral Captain Valeska.
Kaskrin needs me.
So I'm going to mount on top of Mango, who is just barely catching his breath.
Yep, different shade of green now.
Right. And Mango's going to move us 25 feet closer to Kaskrin. So we're now 45 feet away from you. As a bonus action, I'm going to invoke the Mantle of Still Waters, and I'm going to reach out and say, Cass, breakfast time! As we do like a slow motion, just reaching towards each other.
Yep.
And you feel a puddle of water appear and just begin to pull on your ethereal soul. You're going to find yourself flying 30 feet towards where Checkers and Mango are.
I've got enough things pulling on my ethereal soul today. I don't know about this.
As an action, I'm going to reach out and try to grab you from midair with a thorn whip.
Cool.
So we're just like launching you towards the rest of the party. First with this tether from who knows where, and second with a jagged fishing hook.
And Kaskrin is flat as a pancake. Like he knows what his part in this is.
And in total, we're going to move you 40 feet towards where Checkers and Mango are now. So you're 5 feet away from the two of us. We're back to back.
Does Kaskrin get like a soft landing or anything?
No.
Absolutely not.
We cannot do that. We're on this rooftop. I just pull you another 40 feet closer to me, and we see the spirits climbing up around this building, absolutely trying to swarm us. And that's the end of my turn.
And now, a word from our sponsor. Hi, it's me, Sophie. Do you want more Reckless Attack? Then join our Discord and chat with us in our community. The link for the Discord is in the show notes, or head on over to our website, recklessattack.com. We also have a Patreon. You can listen to our new show, Reckless Snack, and other content if you become a patron. We really appreciate your support, and thank you for listening to the episode.
Jonathan, Checkers is making the heroic action. Would you like high or low?
High.
Okay.
Always high.
I'm rolling
Checkers.
A d6 to determine which of the three of you getting attacked by this swarm. They are extremely mindless. They have no instinct for, we got to get the one who's almost down, whatever. They are just attacking indiscriminately. Okay.
I don't like that.
First attack, the hero, the temporarily uncaptained Checkers.
Okay.
First attack, 2 on the die.
Nice.
Whew. Second attack, also against Checkers.
Okay. All right.
I rolled a 5, 6, and a 5.
Okay. Okay.
So ignoring literally everyone else on this roof.
Cool.
Only Checkers.
Love it.
A 15 to hit?
That fails to hit.
Nice.
What happens as again, these grasping, desperate hands reach out for you? How does Checkers get out of it, especially that second hit?
So Checkers is just like in this flow state right now. Like he is taking his Admiral Captain duties seriously. He knows he has to protect his crew. And so he and Mango jump out there, put themselves into danger. And while Kaskrin is just flying towards him and like trying to get himself ready for the final push, Checkers is like not even looking behind him, just like dodging left and right, being that beacon of hope that he knows he can be.
Yep.
Something that occurs to me in this moment. Kaskrin.
Uh-huh.
I think, would you have taken damage from the hook that
Checkers
put into you?
Yep, that would be 6 points of damage.
On the D6.
I lied.
Yep.
10 points of damage.
Yeah.
I'm extra bloodied now. Yeah.
I feel slightly better about missing both of those attacks against checkers.
You're right.
So, Kasker and Brightmane.
Yep.
You are now back to back with two frogs. Two frog pals, still a ways away. What do you do?
I spent 4 turns to get here, and Checkers just forcibly moved me about that same distance.
Yes, absolutely, yes.
Kaskrin has landed gracefully, like a swan.
Superhero three-point landing, sliding across the roof.
He stands up, brushes himself off. He can see Val and Sel. On the one hand, it is a impassable gulf of distance between us and them. But in a real, actual sense, it's only about 30 feet. And so Kaskrin, with one last push of his athletics combined with objectively the best spell in the game, he is going to take a running leap towards the finish line away from these spirits with Checkers and Mango side by side into this bright rainbow of like, yeah.
Ears open.
Ears open.
One last opportunity attack. Still with disadvantage.
Wow. Nice.
Rolled really bad. Rolled a 3 on the dice. Those now dice are going to the side. No opportunity attack against you.
Hell yeah. And so we crest the last and final alley and land on the roof of safety, 150 feet away from where we started.
Would you be... Are you proposing that you are picking up the frogs to jump?
No. No, Checkers just pulls like a, fly, you fool! And just like watches you go as he sees the swarm approaching.
The swarm is going to move.
Yeah.
And it's going to attack the two frogs.
Great.
Attack one, no disadvantage. Natural one.
Ooh, nice. Yeah.
I did not declare who that was against. I will, Jonathan, who would you like to not have been hit?
I would like Mango to not have been hit.
Okay. Second attack against Checkers.
Great.
24 to hit.
That hits. That hits.
But I'm going to grab a few less dice.
Oh, nice. Thanks, Val.
And I'm going to, I added a little bit less to hit you. I still rolled really good, though. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Sorry, John.
Oh, no.
How did you get the same total with less dice?
Oh, no. 22 points of necrotic damage.
Ow.
Oh, damn.
I rolled less dice, but I rolled really good on those dice, unfortunately.
My soul.
Selvastrilin.
Oh, boy. How far is everything now from me?
I think we're just waiting on Checkers to run.
I'm like 25 feet away.
Yeah.
And he's next in the initiative.
Okay.
Get ready to catch.
You know what? In that case, I'll move up 10 feet, Fist of Unbroken Air.
Nice.
If they're that close. First 2 attacks. Natural 20.
Hey.
Nice.
And that's a 10 to hit.
Okay. Natural 20 is good.
All right. So that would be 8 points of damage. Then I will take a bonus action for one extra attack. 23 to
hit. That
is a hit. Nice.
All right. So, total of 15 points of damage.
The horde is diminished.
Hey.
Nice.
We should have just stayed and fought them. I don't know why we're running so much.
There's a lot of things that you guys could have done.
Yeah.
Anything else, Selv?
I will use some of the rest of my movement to move back out of range, back to kind of where I was, and non-mechanically take a defensive posture.
Checkers, you are still surrounded.
Yes.
But finish line's right there, baby.
And with all this extra space opened up by the fireball with the Fists of Unbroken Air, there's just almost this like swirling inferno of fire around Checkers as he and Mango disengage and run back across this magical 150-foot barrier to join the rest of the party.
Seems very good.
This is just the last like few turns of like an XCOM or a tactics game. We're all just standing in the go zone and like this one guy.
Exactly. It's like, do we hit extraction now?
Yeah.
Or
Just leave him. Yeah. Let's go.
We'll send one back. Okay, it's fine. You all see the horde turn as they see the frogs leap over their head. several of them take a few ferocious steps in that direction. But as soon as they land right next to you all, they all stand up straight and walk back to wherever they were previously, doing whatever they were doing before you disturbed them. So that didn't go good.
Nope.
What do you mean? We're 150 feet closer to our goal, guys. You everything went perfectly.
Definitely are. You guys, because you successfully got through the combat, fill out another pie on the pie chart.
We've never worked so hard for one segment on a pie chart.
For a piece of pie.
If you guys rolled better, you could have just done it for free.
Yeah.
With none of that effort, in fact. With not a whole episode and a half.
Yeah,
we're going to fail our next roll and do the whole thing again.
I'm another encounter on the random encounter table. All right, roll initiative.
But yeah, I mean, could be.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
Someone take a good skill next, please.
So, I would like to check in mechanically with how everyone is doing. Mainly HP, but there were some spells slung, and I think it's just a good moment to check in. No one's character is feeling good, I'm sure, but how are your character sheets feeling at this point?
Val is doing great.
I think there's a spectrum.
Yeah, Val has only flavor wise thrown up a bunch. Otherwise, hit points doing fine. I've used a couple spells,
but yeah.
Mango's looking pretty rough. Like, he's on his last legs, but Checkers is overall doing all right. He got hit once at the end for 20-something points of damage, but he's good for another round.
Castrin is bruised and bloodied. He's definitely not great on hit points, but still standing. He still has a lot of spells, though. So he's at least good on that, because like, he only cast jump, basically. But like, he could use some healing pots if anyone's, you know, got a few to spare.
Selv is still a little bit over half his hit points. However, I did expend almost the all of my Wand of Magic missiles. Other than that, he's tired. As everybody is.
What are we thinking, gang? We can talk about this in character, out of character. Are we short resting?
Never.
No.
No.
We can't.
Okay.
At least not. Maybe the tower will have somewhere safe for us to take a quick breather, but we're still pretty exposed out here.
Okay.
I'm going to use the Ring of the Bear has an ability as a bonus action, which I am going to use now that even though we're kind of out of combat.
You know another thing it does? Added movement to everyone in the party.
No. Oh my god, yeah, the first round!
Only in the first round.
Yeah,
but yeah. Take our feet, Steve!
We already used that. It was the first round of combat, which was last
time. Yeah, episode. I'm just saying.
No,
yeah.
We didn't use that.
We didn't use it at all.
You did not bring that up last time.
I didn't know about it.
I could have sworn we did.
Guys, listen, know your inventory.
I could have sworn we did that.
There's a very
no,
good chance.
No, we did not.
There's a chance we did, but I don't remember.
Check your own notes.
No, I only, did not.
If only we recorded it.
Yeah, exactly. what we'll do is we'll be sure to listen back to two episodes ago, and then Steve will let you record an outro to this episode saying, hey, everybody, actually, I didn't. Or... fucking, I told them that I did do it.
And we just ignored it.
Yeah.
But I'm going to use the bonus action ability so I can spend up to 3 hit dice to regain hit points.
Nice. Cass, are you taking a healing potion or should I give you...
I'll drink a healing potion.
Okay.
Castron's going to drink one of the expensive healing potions, which heal 8d4 plus 8.
Dang.
Because of his special ability, he heals 40 points of health.
Hey!
Nice!
So I am looking good again.
Reasonable time to use it.
Checkers is going to use his own special healing potion called Second Wind, which is just him swallowing his own spit.
Disgusting!
I feel good.
I hate it.
You guys have to make sure that he never tells your potion smith about that.
Yeah.
Etrus can never know. that there might be healing qualities in that spit, or man, your healing potions are going to be tasting like checkers for a while. You guys take a moment. You have kind of gotten out of this, again, this hot spot, and found enough cover to chug a potion or two, kind of make eye contact to be like, we're all alive? Cool, great, okay, cool, great. And you have filled out, because again, your success in the combat, 4 of the pies in the pie chart, the clock, which leaves 1 until you get inside of the tower. What you all see before you, you all have made it to, we'll say, a central plaza. In the middle of it is your goal, is the obelisk, is that huge tower that goes up hundreds and hundreds of feet up into the air. And surprisingly, for it being a very central place, things seem to be relatively calm. There are quite a few open spaces around here. Notably, in front of you all is a beautiful garden. There are trees going up 40, 50 feet up into the air that are beautifully maintained. There are rows and rows of hedges, beautiful beds of all sorts of foliage, all pristinely maintained in a way that is unnaturally beautiful, as if they have brought order to the chaos of nature through the tending of these plants. In front of you are people working in this garden, but there are nooks and crannies. Things are relatively peaceful. So, how would you like to proceed to get to the tower?
Stealthfully. Unnoticeably.
You want Cass and I to roll stealth in a group success check?
He asked how I want to.
And for the record, because I cast another concentration spell in the form of Summon Beast, Pass Without Trace is no longer active.
Are there, like, guards or anything, or is it just the garden?
Again, there's supervisors, so there's people who are in charge and giving orders and supervising things. But from here, you don't see any armed guards, certainly not to the extent that you've seen throughout the rest of the city.
It might be worth it just to try to make one final push towards the tower stealthily, even without Pass Without Trace, though.
Well, is that something you could recast, or are you out of...
I could. I'm hesitant about casting spells. I know we just blew a lot of spells, but I've still got it in my head that Celestia Dreamweaver is watching me as her chosen, and I don't know that she would approve of such things.
You mean the hugely magical person that casted so many spells would not approve of her champion using magic?
In her city, unauthorized.
Where's we don't the have license? A license.
I don't have a license for it, yeah.
You're her champion. It's a license.
It comes with the title.
I don't know that the ghost will see it that way.
Again, you do know at least that certainly the specters react to magic, but in terms of, again, has Celestia Dreamweaver T-posed down or up from wherever she is to obliterate you with her laser eyes? Not yet. But
we're one tick away from the failure.
I have a lot of things I'm tracking right now.
Are these ghost spirits in the garden, are they defined, or are they more of the blob type of creatures?
That's a great question. They are a mix of all three. I would say there's at least kind of one supervisor who is fully clear, as well as one or two kind of the laborers. And then, yeah, just kind of a few steps down. But overall, it's, at least from your guys' vantage point, probably a dozen people or less.
So what about perception for this one? We'll keep an eye out. If it's just a mix of them, maybe we can make it far enough without, you know, keeping an eye on the ones that are more corporeal.
I would also suggest another possibility is insight in trying to determine where they are going to be going and where there will be less of them. Just based on, like, they are tending to this type of flower today, so, you know.
Yeah, true. I get you. I would say perception's probably the more applicable in that you're not... They're pretty sedentary, and so there's a little bit less intention to read, I guess. It's more of just, like... Again, now we have moved from the XCOM genre into the Metal Gear Solid, like, trying to time the exact patrols of everyone kind of deal.
Val will hide behind an alley, cast Guidance, and then...
Do you have a license?
I'm trying it. I just cast fucking Fireball.
And is this on yourself?
Yes.
Okay.
Celestia Dreamweaver will remember this.
Nineteen for Val.
Checker's got a natural 20 for a 26.
Nice.
Okay.
Mango only with a 16, though.
Okay. That's still a pass, though.
It's not good, you guys. Castron got an 8.
Oh.
Selv, with all of the... Just because he's so tired, 19.
So that is, even with a slightly altered DC, because a spell was cast as part of it, that is 4 successes.
Nice.
Which is auto success.
Hey, yay. I was like, even me? No, wait.
Mango is covering it for that one. As you guys pass through, again, you are astounded at the even incorporeal beauty of this place. And again, of the order and the symmetry and its leaf by leaf perfection. Because you guys rolled 4 out of 5, you also, in addition to your auto success, you get something interesting. As you pass through, whoever is taking point, I guess I'll ask, who would take point?
Probably Checkers.
Checkers, what is the hand signal for stop moving?
I'm just like shooing them back, like stop, stop, stop.
The hand signal is a verbal command.
Correct. Yes.
And it takes a moment, and Checkers silently kind of works around something that he sees. And you all catch a glimpse of it as you pass by, because in the middle of this beautiful garden is a huge tree that is 40, 50 feet across and tens of feet tall. Huge and wide. Not only is there several guards and blobs attending to this place, there are additionally several other gardeners or what have you working with this tree directly. And you can't quite tell what they're doing, but the trunk of this tree is littered with dryads trapped within. And you can assume trapped because their mouths are extended open in a silent scream.
Nathan, we were
having
a good
time. I thought
you said
this was going to be a fun fact. I don't like this fact. This is a terrible,
interesting
fact.
Interesting fact.
I don't like that.
I want to unsubscribe from these facts.
But on the other side, you find the bottom of the obelisk, its base. And you see a small archway leading into it that is totally unguarded. You all look up and look up and look up, and you see this massive black structure before you. And you look back to the archway, beckoning you forward. And that is where we'll end this week's episode. See you all next time.
This feels like such a trap.
Yeah. No, it's cool, though. It's cool.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Where's Grumbingle chained to the tower?
I thought I thought he was going to be out front waiting for us.
That's, we had
did
a deal.
Did he get his message? We were coming to pick him up.
If you had rolled better, you would have seen he's on the other side. Yeah. Sorry.
Check your bank. I sent you $20, Nathan. I deserve Grumbingle.
Pay to win. Yeah. Act as attached.